You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So check out the site, all the good draft insight. And this week, we'll have all the great schedule insight and things that you need to know for the NFL schedule release as we know the times and dates for who teams are playing across the league. Well, we already know actually the opponents across, and that's why we're doing some advanced scouting for you. We talked completely about the AFC teams, looking at them division by division with a snapshot, because there's only two deviating games for each team in a division, so the division as a whole kind of benefits totally, except for those two changes, and that can really hurt or help a team because those are two big games period that can change the course of their entire production. So that's what we're looking at here, to kind of give you that big snapshot of the opponents and how we feel about this team, getting kind of the vibe versus their schedule overall without the times and dates there. So let's go to the NFC East. You look at this division. We'll start there with the team that finished in first place, the Cowboys. Of course, they're going to play each other, all the other teams in the NFC East. The other division that they face is the NFC North there, and they also face the AFC East. So some intriguing teams for sure that are going to provide a lot of marquee value there. For the Cowboys, this means that they have to face the two division winners from last year, Rams and Saints. You know, the Saints are pretty darn good against the run. The Rams struggled against the run. The Patriots are pretty tough defense, so they got to face the Saints and Patriots away, as well as the Bears. So that's pretty brutal when you think about it for the Cowboys. The away schedule not looking as good for Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. At home, it looks rather well with the Dolphins and Bills and Rams. Packers and Vikings might be a little improved, but they still have a little bit of a deviation. But that's pretty much how it looks here straight up, is that the Cowboys, Ezekiel Prescott, you're not going to change Elliott's value too much. He's one of the steadiest forces. But in terms of Dak Prescott, I would say it's going to be a little up and down for him this year based on some of the matchups. We've seen that before, Dak Prescott. So to me, if you're thinking about him as a borderline QB1, I think the schedule makes you think a little bit differently about that. Now, when you get to the next team, the Eagles, now they get a little lesser stuff there, the Seahawks and Falcons, and the Seahawks can struggle a bit in the back end, the Falcons as well, so that's good for Carson Wentz. Pretty decent away schedule with some higher scoring games, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, the Vikings and Kirk Cousins there for Wentz, Matt Ryan and the Falcons. The Bills and Dolphins are set up for some lighting up as well there, so good away schedule in relation to the Cowboys there outside the division. The home gets a little tougher then in relation. The Bears are at home, but that makes it a little easier when you get the Bears and Lions at home and the Patriots and Jets at home. So it's a little bit of a flip of what the Eagles have in versus what the Cowboys have. So Eagles definitely get the favor overall. And again, it's hard to determine where we're going with their backfield, Jordan Howard, and the schedule completely. But you do feel a lot better about Carson Wentz in the tier versus where Dak Prescott is. Now, you look at the Redskins there, and the Redskins, their deviation is the 49ers and Panthers, and I think that's not very good because I think these two teams are going to be improved. They get the tough teams, the Bears, the Patriots, there at home. I think the Lions and Jets are going to be two of the more improved defenses, so they're all there. Away, it's not that great either for their purposes. The Eagles will have that solid defense, we know, in the division. The Packers and Vikings should be improved, two tough places to play there. And the quarterback situation with Case Keenum is going to be tricky as well. Again, the Panthers just down the street for them, but tough there. The Bills and Dolphins are some breaks. But overall, I just don't feel great about where you're going with the Redskins here overall. Tough sledding to trust any of their team players as a fringe offense that you're going to look in fantasy football. Now, with the Giants, we'll focus on the one guy that we're intrigued in most is Saquon Barkley. And Saquon Barkley has a great home schedule here with Cardinals, Bills, and Dolphins. They're coming in outside of the division. Away, it's a little tougher with the Bears there, but they also get the Buccaneers to exploit on the other side, having that last place schedule with the Cardinals and Bucks. That's a nice bonus there for Barkley and this offense here. It's a little tougher again. The Bears is that tough matchup for Barkley on the road. This is pretty good overall for the Giants receiving corps, namely Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram. So Giants get that last place break for sure and take advantage of that. So if I was going to break down this schedule in terms of the ease, I would say given that they all face the Bears and that's kind of the crossover, I think the Giants have it the easiest here. Overall, I think the Eagles come in second, the Redskins third, and the Cowboys fourth in terms of their 2019 schedule and the potential for fantasy football points. Let's turn to the NFC South, jump down here to the NFC South. We look at these teams. We know their past defenses in this division all struggled last year. So who do they get outside of the division? Well, you get the AFC South as one of the teams, and you get the NFC West. So some breaks here for this division outside in terms of the passing game. So when you have the teams here, Drew Brees and the Saints, Matt Ryan and the Falcons, Jameis Winston and the Bucks, and Cam Newton and the Panthers, you have teams that can light up the scoreboard a little bit here and can take advantage of that. So again, the Cardinals, everyone gets the Cardinals, which is nice there in this division. On top of that, the 49ers are a little bit rebuild mode. The Rams and Seahawks can create some high-scoring games as well. So it really comes down to the deviation games here. The Saints have the Cowboys and Bears. That's not the greatest thing because they're two pretty good defensive teams and two teams that gave the Saints some trouble. So overall, that's not great. And you throw in getting the Colts at home as a help. Their away schedule is better because they get the Titans and Jaguars. And they get the Colts and Texans at home. So pretty good for the Saints. Again, those Cowboys and Bears matchups are going to be trickier. The Cowboys is a bit of a deviation from the other teams, but overall still feel pretty confident that nothing here is going to affect how you feel about the Saints, namely Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara. Your second place team in the division was the Atlanta Falcons, and you look at them, again, they get the Eagles here, and Vikings is their break, but Colts and Texans away is pretty tough. So is playing in Minnesota there as well. San Francisco is a long road trip, so not the greatest road feeling here, but home doesn't feel as inviting either because they don't really have a home field advantage there. You have the Rams, Seahawks, Eagles coming in. So this is pretty tricky for the Falcons. They're a bit in flux. Easier, though, against the pass a little bit for Matt Ryan and them, but not the same good vibe that you get from the Saints schedule overall. Now for the Panthers, they have to face the Redskins and Packers. I think the Packers is a downgrade here because of their improvement from, and they also get the Colts and Texans away. So pretty easy to slot where they are. I think the Packers are going to be much improved, but they're not the Eagles and Vikings. So I think they're second hardest there after the Falcons of the division with the Saints clearly having the edge. And you look at the Buccaneers here and what we look at there, they get in their little breaks, they get some good ones there in the Giants and Lions. Their Lions are away, the Giants are at home. So you look at this home schedule for the Bucks, Bruce Arians, the former team, the Cardinals for Bruce Arians come in. So the 49ers, long road trips there. The weak Giants, the Colts and Texans are tricky, but overall, so I think the Bucks are kind of the middle of the road there, but I'd have to say because of getting the last place schedule here, the Bucks are a little bit better shape. So in order, this is how I would look at it. The Saints have the easiest overall for their offensive players, the Buccaneers second, the Panthers third, and the Falcons fourth as we look at that division. Now, as a reminder, we've got so many great podcasts on the Lockdown Network. Team-by-team podcasts are revving up before the 2019 NFL Draft. Check those shows out, whether it's Lockdown NFL Draft or the Draft Dudes podcast or any of your favorite teams. We've been talking a lot about them throughout the NFC here. check it all out here on Locked On Network. And reminder that the best way to download this podcast is through Himalaya and the app. It's a great way to get going with your listening, whether at home or on the go, and you have smart speaker as well. Himalaya is going to make it the most convenient listening experience for you for Locked On shows here on the network. So check that out. If you haven't used Himalaya before, I highly recommend it. It's the great delivery system for this podcast. We will be right back here with a look now at the NFC North and their schedule ahead of 2019 full schedule release. All right, let's look at the NFC North. We know at the top was the Bears, and we'll start with who they're playing outside the division overall for this team, this division. Well, you have the AFC or NFC East, I should say, and the AFC West. So NFC East, AFC West, so keep that in mind as we go along here. The Bears draw the Saints and Rams. So reality, those are tough games, but those are actually good breaks, so high-scoring games for potential for Mitchell Trubisky. They get the Giants at home, the Chiefs, another shootout at home, the Chargers, a potential shootout at home, so they don't have to go cross-country there to play them. They get some nice games there, the Raiders and Redskins at home, and the Rams, no worry about weather there on that road trip, so the Bears are looking pretty good to keep things going offensively with Mitchell Trubisky and Allen Robinson and Terry Cohen. So pretty good for having won a division and still being in a great position there. The team that finished in second was the Vikings, and their deviations are the Falcons and Seahawks. And that's pretty good because it helps Kirk Cousins a little bit. Getting also the Raiders and at home with the Redskins is nice for Kirk Cousins. So pretty good overall. They have some shootout potential with Russell Wilson, again, playing up there in Seattle again. Patrick Mahomes playing in Kansas City, tough place to play, and Phillip Rivers. But sets up a lot of garbage time, and when you also consider the Cowboys are an away game there for the Vikings and Giants. So should be a bounce-back productive season for Kirk Cousins, and I would say it's close between the Bears and Vikings to take advantage. And this tells you that the NFC North is pretty favorable overall with these teams. Now you look at the next team that finished was the Packers, and they finished in third place actually, which many probably surprised that the Lions couldn't quite rebuild and get to where they wanted. But their deviation is the Panthers and 49ers versus the rest of the field here. They get the Broncos and Raiders at home, the Chiefs and Chargers away. So good shootout potential for Aaron Rodgers. Again, very similar to the schedule that the Vikings have, with the change being the 49ers on the away schedule. So interesting to see that, but a lot of good shootouts there for the Packers and what we're looking at there with this team. Now, you look up on the other side of things with the home schedule, good favorite there facing the Raiders, Panthers, Redskins, Broncos, maybe a little bit of rebuilding, but the Packers are in good position there. So I'd say it's pretty close between all three teams right now, but I'd say you could give the Packers a little bump there over the Bears and Vikings in this division. Now, finally, we close with the Lions out of the NFC North, and they get the Buccaneers and Cardinals. So someone had to get the Buccaneers and Cardinals to take advantage of that a little bit more. They do get the Chiefs and Chargers at home, so some shootout potential for Matthew Stafford with Winston and Dak Prescott coming in. On the road, I think it's a little tougher. Arizona's a tough place to play, but still a little weaker. So overall, this division looking very pretty overall. So if you're going to really get close here, I'd say the Packers and Lions have it a little bit better than the Bears and Vikings. But overall, again, nothing in this division where you're really too daunted. A lot of good breaks here for these offenses. And I think a little bit better for the passing games than running games, but that's how you look at it with the NFC North. Now, we start looking here at the NFC West. And now, this division outside of the NFC West, you get the NFC South, they're locked in for all these teams, and you get the AFC North. So that's an interesting combination for sure. So a lot of favorable passing defenses there. When you look at the Bengals, could be struggling in there when you throw them in that mix. But when you look at the number one team, the Rams, there are two teams that they get are the Bears and Cowboys, but pretty favorable home schedule and set up for shootouts here again. Saints, Bucks, Bears, Bengals, and Ravens, so they should light things up. Away, you got some good controlled environments with the Falcons, Panthers, and Cowboys. You have a couple weather potential games in the Steelers and Browns, but this is set up for shootout city for Jared Goff and for Todd Gurley, so really good spot for the Rams and this division to lead off this division. The Seahawks are next in this division. They face the Vikings and Eagles. The Vikings are at home, as well as the Bucks, Bengals, and Ravens, so some decent there. Falcons and Panthers, Eagles, Steelers, and Browns, that's the division for the Seahawks. So overall, it's not bad again for this team. I think when you look at the Bears and Cowboys, definitely the Rams have a little bit of bump defensively there versus the Vikings and Eagles, but not much difference there in those two teams overall. And the schedules are pretty much identical otherwise when you look at it. So you'd say in terms of that, knowing that, I think the Seahawks have a slight edge over the Rams. Now, the 49ers and Cardinals have similar schedules as well. You look at the 49ers being the third-place team. They get the Packers at home, so that's a tough draw there with that defense potentially being improved, but it bounces back with the Redskins. They also have to face the Ravens, two long road trips to the Beltway. Saints and Buccaneers are also two hard games, so pretty tough there overall for the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo, and that offense. Potential shootouts for Garoppolo, but may not be so good for the running game if they have to get out and start throwing a little bit more. So definitely Seahawks and Rams are a little bit better situated than the 49ers. Now, you look at the Cardinals, the last team in the division, last team in the conference here. They get the Lions at home. Pretty good break there. The Giants on the road, so two helpful games. That situation, they get the Bengals on the road as well with the Buccaneers, but the Saints there and the at home, you get some teams that are tough in the Falcons and Panthers, Steelers and Browns. So a little bit of toughness for the Cardinals, and I would put them clearly in that last spot when you look at it. So to me, in the order of the fantasy football favorability here that tilts the way you go, I think you look at the Seahawks first, the Rams second, the Cardinals third, and the 49ers fourth in terms of their ease and what they can get done here with this 2019 schedule. So there's a look at the NFC, and as we remind you here that there are many great shows on the network. Check us out. Make sure you're listening to our MLB podcast. The season is getting rolling here. We're going into May soon. The first month is almost done. Keep up with all the good trends and hot things that are going around in baseball with our MLB Team by Team podcast. And don't forget, NBA playoffs are here, so NBA podcasts are going to be rocking it for the Locked On Network as well. So, and we're happy you're on board. And just again, if you got any questions about the show or you love anything we do, just give us a shout and we'll holler right back at you and make the show better. And we'll be just really appreciative if you listen. And we're trying to bring it all to you throughout the off season, in season. Locked On Network is your place to be. We right back here with the final thoughts about the schedules here for 2019. Now, we talked about the AFC opponents, the NFC opponents that formulate the schedule. I mean, we're just missing the dates and times, and so we kind of give you a good snapshot there of how we kind of feel the vibes. But what I'm here to say is don't get too caught up in the strength of schedule, whether it's the reality strength of schedule, which we know based on the previous season's combined win totals of the opponents, or what we project could be in fantasy football based on what we know and what we think we know. A lot of things are going to surprise us overall about the schedule. So the schedule is a bit of a guide. You're not tying your major picks, your core players, to the schedule. In the end, you just want them to be productive. And the better players are going to overcome the tougher matchups and be more productive, or the worst players are going to struggle with the more mediocre matchups. That's just the way it is. The good teams will keep producing well against other good teams, while bad teams are going to be even worse against good teams. So that's how you kind of have to break it down and keep that in mind. It's just a guideline. If you have a question between one guy or the other, to go there, but don't get too caught up in the schedule. Again, it's just more fun and interesting to break it down, look ahead at who's playing who, the matchups that are coming up, and how you can start to exploit them, but still a lot to be done there. The draft is going to change things, the way that defenses look. We're still learning about some teams and their schemes and defenses and how they're going to be better, and we know that things can change very quickly. You saw the Jaguars. We were afraid of them last year going in after their big 2017. They struggled a lot. You could exploit them in a lot of situations, and that kind of blew up the way we rated teams on our schedule. So that's a piece of advice you have to keep in mind. There's not one thing that trumps talent in fantasy football. Talent is the number one. Talent of guys in positions to put up points and score. I think it's become to a point where it's a passing league and a lot of teams are going to throw a lot. And there's not going to be too many shutdown true defenses here. And we saw that with the Bears being the unit from 2018, the Jaguars in 17. But for the most part, if you've got the offensive goods, you're going to produce against a lot of teams. So less reliant on that. Something you have to keep in mind, again, to know what's coming up and always be aware of who's playing who, and kind of at some point you zone in as you get that more data throughout the season to look at weeks 14 through 16 to see where you can gain an edge there in your fantasy football playoffs. But again, even when we have the schedule and everything's in books, it probably takes a good 6 to 8 week sample size of the fantasy points allowed to really feel that you have schedules to exploit and all that. And that's always the trick of fantasy football, trying to see things well ahead of time and advance scout them beyond the rest. And that's what you have to definitely consider in fantasy football. For Locked On Fantasy Football, for this abbreviated week of podcasts, sending off for a few days, and we'll be back again in full swing there on NFL draft week for you to really cover it and be locked and loaded for that and what's coming up and the aftermath, breaking all that down for you here. So exciting time of the year here at Locked On Fantasy Football and Locked On NFL Network. And we're so glad that you're listening, and hopefully you get insight with everything here. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.